Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We are on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you. Let's pray and let's trust God to meet with us as we come to his word. Father, we thank you. We have this precious gift of the living word and the opportunity to preach your word, not only in the preaching, but the hearing. And Lord, we need your anointing. We need your ability to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us today. So open up all our hearts and our minds to be attentive to what you are saying to us. I pray for every one of us that everyone will receive a rich deposit of what you are saying personally, and an outworking of your future in everyone's life today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So just to let you know, we were told we're never here anymore. We were away for 2 weeks on leave, and then we had opportunities to preach at Foresight Church in Krugersdorp, and then I came back here, and the Holy Spirit took over, and I couldn't preach, so you couldn't see me. So, but anyway, I'm here back, and the Lord is here in the house. We want to continue with this message, contending for the New Testament church. And I really do believe God is building according to his pattern, and we've been doing that for a number of weeks. And I just want to remind us that Jesus says, I'll put new wine into fresh wineskins. And as we contend with this, it was a revelation of who Jesus was. Firstly, Jesus, the head of the church and the king of his kingdom, living in Christ and with the power of the Holy Spirit to go forward in that. But today, what I wanted to open up before I get into the next point, good biblical leadership, the Lord really placed on my heart this aspect of calling. Now, I know it's in some quarters this is not understood and it's frowned upon, but I really do believe God is a gracious, wonderful God, and he calls us to him. So I want to turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Paul talks about to the church of Ephesus about walking in their calling. So from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and a Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You see, this God that we serve was before time. And I know the concept of predestination is a difficult one to understand, but God knew everything before even time was created. And you were in his heart and you were in his will even from that time. He predestined. And this thing of predestination is an incredible blessing, because I believe God predestined all mankind to come to him. Will everyone accept him? No, not everyone will accept him. But he, when he died on the cross and when he established the outworking of his plan for mankind, he predestined us. But here in Romans 8, verse 30, it says, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. So this calling is something that is an important thing. I remember my late aunt and her children, they were allowed to go and play in the fields around them, and she would go and stand at her garden gate and she would whistle. And when they heard that whistle, the kids knew it was time to come home. And it's the same thing when God calls. I really believe God calls us in a sense where he knows us by name. The Bible tells us he knows the very hairs on our head. He calls with a loud shout. He calls to us to invite us to him. And I really do believe every one of us that are here today, God has got your name and knows you specifically, and he's called you by name. And you need to know that that's how precious you are to the Lord. You are not a misfit. You are not a mistake. Whatever your circumstances, whatever you're going through, you are vital and important to God. He's determined you to be part of what he's planned for you in the outworking of his grace. Do you believe God's got a plan for your life? Do you believe he's got a purpose for your life? Do you believe that he's got pursuits for you to follow? I believe that too. And I want to just encourage you here today is this calling of God is a vital aspect of our lives. And there's a reality to the outworking of that. In Romans 10 verse 13, it says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the calling of God is to come to his salvation, come to salvation. Now I find as I've been working, been part of the church for many years, the understanding of this outworking of salvation is a process. And we all call to come to Christ, and that is the outworking of the cross. But many people get stuck just at the cross. They don't see God. There's this outworking of a furtherance of the call to go further and to live this resurrection life. It goes further to live in Christ, but then also to be seated at Christ at his right hand of the Father. There's understanding of that. So I believe there's some aspects of calling for every one of our lives. So firstly, there's a call that comes to every one of us to be saved. God in his goodness and his grace loves us and understood the problem that we had with sin, and he calls us to be saved. And we've got to respond to that. I really do believe as others pray for you and circumstances that work, but God loved you, that he sent his son to die for you, that he calls you to come and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us when you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you become born again, you become a new creation in Christ. And I really believe when you make that transaction with God, when you respond to his call, you are born again. That happened to me as a 16-year-old after a confirmation class. I went home and I said to the minister, who is this Jesus? He said, you need to ask him to come into your heart. And I, my bed that Sunday night, I said, Lord Jesus, I don't know who you are, but I invite you to come. I accept your invitation. And that was something. I remember there were tears in my eyes. I didn't know what was actually happening, but there was a transaction that took place. So when God calls you and invites you to him, there's a transaction that's where you got to respond to him. You know, with your children, when you call them for supper, and in our home it's a major problem, Nikki calls us often for supper and none of us respond. Is it happening in your home? I can see those heads nodding. Sorry, Nikki, we will be obedient next time. But same with God. He calls us to himself, and will you respond? And I hope everyone here today, you've responded to the call of God to be saved, to come to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to be in your heart say, I have responded to the call to be saved, to be born again. But then God goes further with us. He doesn't just leave us hanging and say, no, you're just a new creation. There's an outworking of this life that he gives us in Christ. He brings us to place because he says, I see you now. You've come to understanding of who I am, but now I want you to live this life. And I realize you don't have the ability to do that. And I want to give you the ability to do that. And that is, the Bible tells us to be baptized and continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, the early church was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then the evidence of God's ability and power became on them. And they begin to preach this gospel of Jesus Christ and started to live the life in Christ. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. There's a present, continuous thing that needs to take place. We need God's enabling to do this work. If you are living, following Christ without the power of God's Holy Spirit, you're going to miss the mark. You need his enabling. We need to be in a place of surrender to be able to. So I encourage you, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to say after the meeting, we're going to be praying. We'd love to pray with you because I believe there's an event in our lives as we respond to God's call. Jesus is the baptizer. And he wants to fill us with his power to enable us to live this life that he's called us to live. But then it doesn't stop there, because many Christians get to that point, is, well, I've been saved, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, I've arrived. You know, we say we're born again, we made anew, we're filled with the Spirit, but that's not the end. That is just the beginning. God doesn't just let us settle there. He wants to take us and go deeper, and this is to live in Christ. And I want to encourage us, this living in Christ is an incredible, incredible privilege to all of us. And I've been discovering this, and I want to really encourage you with this. It's not just to reign and rule here on earth, but it's to reign and rule from a position where we are. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that we are seated in Christ in heavenly places. So if we are the body of Christ, we are there seated with authority in Christ, and we need to reign in that position from the throne room of God. And now we're sitting here on earth, but in reality, you're in the right hand of the Father. You are sitting in Christ, and you are ruling in this place of authority. Satan is under your feet. He's been defeated by Jesus, and you are living in that place, and you've been given authority from that position to rule and reign. And so often we are in this place of doubt and loneliness and think, now who are we? No, I want to tell you who you are in Christ. You have been exalted in Christ. Yes, we humble ourselves and we keep ourselves in the place of surrender before him, but we are to reign and rule in Christ. And when we grasp hold of that and we start to take up our position in Christ, we start to live the life in the place that God's given us to have influence, to have authority, to bring the love of God, to bring the kingdom of God, and we change environments. We change the atmosphere where we find ourselves, because who lives inside of us and who's working through us? It's Christ himself. And we need to understand this is where God is, this call to live in Christ from the position of the right hand of the Father. Very important, at the right hand of the Father, there's also a place of knowing our Heavenly Father. In Romans 8 verse 15 says, you do not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, whom we cry, Abba Father. And I want to tell you, we've been placed at the right hand of the Father to know the Father. Jesus teaches us to pray to our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I want to encourage you, that's where Jesus takes us back. He puts us in himself. We're taken exalted to the right hand of the Father, and we can turn and we can look at our Heavenly Father. Your Father, your Heavenly Father, Abba Father, loves you. Why do they put the Aramaic word Abba in there in the scriptures? Because I think there's an endearment to understand he is Papa, he's Daddy. And we need to know, yes, not that we degrade him to, he's God Almighty, but he is Father. He was revealed in the Old Testament as Father, but Jesus came to reveal our Father. As much as the Holy Spirit's got to reveal Christ to us, Christ wants to reveal the Father to you. And I want to encourage you, as your relationship, as you're in Christ, get to know your Heavenly Father. That's a calling, to get to know your Heavenly Father. Many of us have had broken fathers, we have broken families, but your Heavenly Father is the true Father. And he's the one that loves you. And especially those that are going through difficult times, that are maybe be single and through widowed and whatever's happened in life, your Heavenly Father will never leave you nor forsake you. And I really want to encourage you with that. Get to know your Father. Now, why do we go through all those callings? Because there's an outworking, as I wanted to talk about, of the church. And we are first called to be saints. We are set apart. Why does the Old Testament talk about saints? Because you're not part of the world anymore. We've been separated. When we called and we become born again, you are no longer part of this world. Yes, we do have an opportunity to be a sinner and to sin, but you are no longer a sinner. How can you deny the finished work of the cross and to say that I'm still a sinner? You're not. You're a child of God. You're a son and daughter of the Most High God. Yes, you have an ability to sin, an ability to be forgiven and to be cleansed from all unrighteousness, but you are now a child of God and a saint. And I'll tell you, it's the privileged position, it's the highest position in the church. It's the place of being a saint, set apart for God. And I want to encourage us that we need to live in that place of a place of covenant, because that's what Jesus completed. Covenant brings us into a permanent relationship with him. So how does this all work out? Now that you've been called, you're part of the church, you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you're living in Christ, now God wants to work out your life. Now your life is worked out in our natural circumstances, but it's worked out through his church. You're the body of Christ. And I want to just say many Christians have come to a place of actually being hurt by the church or actually don't see the importance of the church, but we are the church. This building is not the church. We are the church. And God wants to grow us in the outworking of his church. And there's an outworking that God's mechanism and the outworking of your call in him flows through the church. And God has put a pattern into the church that we need to see that we are involved with. And I've just, from my testimony, as I put my hand up to follow the Lord, and he took me through this growth spurt of living in Christ and understanding who I am in Christ, but then the expression of Christ is worked through his church. And I want to just say that's where God wants to grow you, not, yes, in the workplace and where you find yourself, but there's an expression of your calling in the church. And every one of us is different. No one's the same. As you go into a flower garden, every flower is different, even though they're very similar, some of them. But we are all different. And God's got a plan for you. And I want to just say to you, God has brought you into his family, into his church, to find an expression where God has called to you. So I can't tell you what God wants you, but I want to place before you today the opportunities that are to be worked in his church. Now, so often when we look at the church, we look at the church from a business model, and we look at it and say, well, in the business model, we have the employer and the employees, we have the managerial structure, we have the middle management, we have the lower level of worker, and we try and put the church into the same structure. And we try and make the pastor the CEO, and he controls, and we have a office manager, he's the financial manager, and all that. We try and structure the church very similar, like a business model. And yes, there is some structure from the business that we need to carry into the church, especially from the admin point of view. But from a level there's equality amongst all of us. We are all saints first. And then God says, okay, now you're a saint. You understand you're a saint and you're following me. Now I have a role for you. And now I want to just explain some of that for you today, because I really believe this is the good biblical structure that God actually wants for the church that we can find. And I want to just say to you is that you need to find your place in his church. It's good to come on a Sunday, and it's good to come and worship the Lord. It's good to be part of the life of the church, but there's got to be an expression of God in your life in and through his church. And I'm not saying to be standing in this role of preaching, but there's an expression that God has got for you, for the skills and the talents that he's got given you, that needs to be outworked in the church. If you are sitting back and you're folding your arms and you're not being involved, I want to just say you're missing out on what God has called you to do. I remember in the Methodist church, I was involved. I put my hand up for everything. I got involved in the youth. I got involved in many areas, and I eventually went to Cornerstone Church. I think I went through every aspect of outworking that God put me in. And I want to just say thank you, because eventually God raised me up for this role, and not everyone's called to this role, but I want to tell you, put your hand up, and you never know what God will actually do in those things. Many people play out of position. Some people, I remember even in the life of the eldership, I said, please look after the children's church. And they said, well, I'm not called to do that. But when you put your hand up and say, here I am, Lord, I'm available, God brings his ability and enabling to do that. So I want to encourage you, as we build the New Testament church, God wants you to respond to his call to be involved in his church. And this is not a hard, fast rule, but I want to just say it's one of the secrets of growing in Christ. Get involved. And when you get involved, Isaiah chapter 6, where you say to the Lord, here I am, Lord, use me, God will use you. But if you put your hand down and say, I'm not available, and I'm going to live my life, and I'm going to do what I want to do, God won't put you under pressure. But when you submit yourself and your humble self before him, he will raise you up and release you into what he's called. And this is for every one of us, from young to old, whatever. You're never too young or never too old to be used by the Holy Spirit. We never, our last breath is our last breath. But we have the ability to still speak the word with our breath. Even to our, when we get elderly, we still have an opportunity to bring. So I want to just bring an understanding, and I want to just, and this is not a an incrimination, this is not to speak negatively about anyone, and this is not to speak about any church that is wrong. I'm just so grateful and thankful to God that we landed up partnering with New Covenant Ministries International, and there was a gentleman named Dudley Daniel. He was at Bryanston New Covenant for many years. And Dudley, in a sense, stumbled on this truth from Scripture. He said, Lord, there's got to be more to the outworking of the church. Because he said, Lord, I've been involved in the outworking of the church. And he said, there's something that's not right. Because people are getting hurt. People are jockeying for position. There's too much division. There's things that are happening that don't seem to be godly. And he submitted to God and he said, Lord, I'm just making myself a bit. Show me your, through your word, what is the way to biblically structure the New Testament church? And he got together with some other men, a guy named Leon van Dahl and some others. What was the guy in Pietermaritzburg, Nikki? Ray Oliver. And these men got together and they came humbly before the Lord and they said, Lord, show us your way. And they stumble upon the scriptures as Paul was sent by the Holy Spirit, how to establish the church and how to structure the church. And they've worked together with the Holy Spirit, and the Lord actually worked through them to establish and understand. And I want to bring that to some understanding to us today. So as I said earlier, is that we are called to be saints first. And as we work that, as we work out the in the family of God, we all in the church as saints. But then God places those that are deacons and those that are elders in the life of the church. And we see that from Philippians chapter 1. It says here that to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and the deacons. So my understanding from the scriptures is that firstly we are called to be saints. And then there are some in the life of the church that are called to be overseers. The Greek words point to being overseer, to be a bishop, and also as an elder. And these, the Bible talks very clearly about the qualifications. They're not the qualifications from an educational point of view, even though it's good to have a biblical understanding. And I think that's important. But it's from a character point of view, how to conduct yourself in family. Very interesting. When we look at the qualifications or the values that need to be in an elder's life, someone was just saying the other day, when you interview someone for a job position, what are you looking for? And I think we need to take the biblical approach to this thing. So often we're looking for the degrees, we're looking for the work experience, we're looking for the years of influence. But maybe you're getting some person, male or female, that comes into that environment that is very poor in the family, doesn't know how to work with the family, and there's brokenness in the family. And unfortunately, if someone comes from that position, especially a male who doesn't know how to manage his family well, and you come and put that person into a CEO position in a business environment, and yes, he can have all the qualifications, he can be highly intelligent, he can actually be a good organizer and even a good leader, but he doesn't know how to manage his family well, he will destroy that company. Because that is his heart. Because he hasn't worked those things out. And I'm just saying some of these biblical qualifications, when you, just speaking to some of the business folk here that are employing people, just make sure, go and look at the qualifications that are looking at what the Bible is asking for, because it's the heart that counts. And when the heart is in the right place, you, those things that are added through qualifications are good, but you will actually have someone that will produce. You produce what who you are. And especially, even if it's a Christian, listen to me, not Christians, all Christians have got this right. Many Christians in their homes, their home lives are broken still. They haven't got it right. So we need to be discerning when it comes to this. And especially when it comes to those that lead the church. My understanding from leading the church, Jesus is in total authority. He's the head of the church. And that's been the wonderful aspect of understanding New Testament church, is that there's not a hierarchy that we report to. We are a local church. We belong to the body of Christ. We work with many other local churches. Jesus is the head of the local church. Jesus is the head of the church universal. And he's directing his church as the head of the church by his Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. And I want to just say, as an eldership team, as one that leads the eldership team, we follow Jesus. We take our instructions from him. And yes, we are not perfect, and sometimes the flesh gets in the way, but we endeavor to hear what Jesus is doing in his church, to follow him and make sure that he's the head. And God has ordained, we understand from the scripture, that the elders will be in the front of the church, like a spearhead. They will stand in front of the church, and they will be the shepherds of the church, and they will try and hear God. Not that you will not hear God, but they will try and hear God to actually bring direction and plan and purpose where God has actually taken us. So they're in the forefront. They're not better in any way. They're not in a position that in any place higher, but they're in front. They take the most attacks of all the church, because they're right in front. They are moving forward and advancing the kingdom of God. And it's a key that those men and women that are raised up for that team will be in a place of unity, not only to follow Jesus, but to shepherd the sheep. And it's such a key thing, because today we have in the church where we have men and women that have been raised up, that have educated, that have got theological degrees, but are not called by God to this role, and don't have God's enabling to do this, the anointing to do this thing, and they burn sheep. They destroy people's lives. And I know people's hearts are not to do that, but unfortunately the role to fulfill, to be an elder in the life of a church, needs God's calling. And I know my testimony, I never had any clue or wanted to be in the ministry. But God had a different plan. When I came to Christ, I said, Lord, here I am. I wanted to know him, and I love the Lord, and I still love the Lord, and I still want to please him in every way. But there was one day when I was at Wits University, and I was studying accountancy, and the Lord spoke to me very clear in my heart. He said, go and lead my people. Now, that wasn't my desire. That was his desire. Was I qualified to do it? No. Do I know anything about leading church? Nothing. But God, in the number of years that I've put my hand up to, has trained me, and I'm still growing in this area. So I want to just say to you, I am, and everyone on the eldership team, are called to be shepherds. They are not there, they're not misfits, they're not just put in there for a role, they're there not for title, they're there to shepherd you and to love you under the authority of the great shepherd. And I just count it, for me, it's a great privilege to shepherd you as God's people. Most Sunday mornings as I prepare, Lord, I just say thank you for this privilege of being able to come and love your people and to bring your word to them, to encourage them to follow you. And I don't see this as a burden. Yes, there's been some tough times going through the thing, but I rejoice that I know that the Father's called me to shepherd you. And may his anointing flow. And I want to just say to you, please don't call me pastor. Why do I say that? And I know it's got in the church and it's going through the church, because pastor can become a title. And people live behind the title, and the workplace loves a title, that you call him the CEO or the chief operating officer, or he's the financial director, and people live behind their titles. I'm not qualified to have a title. I'm qualified in God to have a role, and my role is to shepherd you. And I understand my role. So I mark a pastor. I mark who's a teacher. I mark it carries an apostolic mantle to go to the nations and to other churches. But I'm not an apostle. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. But I carry the role of that, from a title perspective. And I think that's very important, because that keeps me humble. That keeps me knowing that it's God doing through it. And unfortunately, the church is scattered with titles, and I'm not criticizing them, but the problem is it gets into a position of pride. And then it becomes their ministry, and it's not the New Testament church. And if you will join Mark Goodfellow's ministry, you will be blessed. No, it doesn't work like that. It's part of the Church of Jesus Christ, and we come to serve him together. I want to just say something to you. I am not better than you. I'm the lower than all of you. Actually, Paul says, I'm the scum of the earth because I'm on my knees serving you. You're not serving me. I'm serving you. That's where God's put me. That's my role. And I rejoice in that. I'm not better than you. Our elders are not better than you. And please pray for us for in that situation, because it takes a lot of discernment. It takes the power of God to actually do that. Pray for me to remain humble, that I'll not get proud, because proud is lurking around the corner for every single one of us. This is the church that Jesus Christ is building. And that's where we lead from. We lead from a place of an eldership team, from a place of submission to Jesus and submitting to you. The Bible teaches us that. We don't come from a hierarchy telling you what to do. Yes, we hear the Lord and we bring it before you, but you still got to hear God. We're not taking your role away from hearing God. In the structure of the New Testament, Jesus is the head of his church. I am not the head of his church. I bring direction as I hear from the Lord. I'm as good as I hear from God, and I bring to you, and you hear me, and through that, and God blesses you. But you better hear him. He's the head of his church. And we come as the front of the church going forward as a team. But we bring us as the body of Christ, as the team working together. And God raises up those that are deacons in the life of the church, those that have come alongside to serve with authority. And yes, those deacons need to have a values in their own lives too, that can actually be used by God, because they can replicate the kingdom of God. Interestingly, Jesus called his disciples apostles. And I think I've said this before, but I want to explain to you, but what does apostolicity mean? It's a big word. It actually came from the Roman Empire. And the Romans would send out their rulers and would be apostles. And they would have to replicate wherever they found themselves what Rome looked like. The authority structures in Rome, the laws of Rome, the way they did things, the way they did their sanitation, all those things. And you will see a replication of what Rome is and how well Rome run wherever they established themselves. The Roman Empire was established like that. And Jesus takes this understanding of what the Romans did and makes his disciples apostles. And they go, and as they go out, they go and establish the kingdom of God wherever they go. And I want to just say too, as we're looking at the bigger thing, the New Testament church is an apostolic prophetic church. And we are to replicate wherever we are what the kingdom of God is. So it's not just for the elders, it's for every single one of us have an apostolic call to replicate the kingdom. Wherever you find in your workplace, in your family, there's got to be a representation of the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the establishment of the kingdom of God. I expect when I come into your home that there's peace, because that's the blessing of God, that there's peace in your home, because you have replicated the kingdom of God in your home. That's the highest place that we replicate the kingdom of God, is in our home. It shouldn't be a brokenness in our home. That's where the kingdom needs to be seen. And I want to encourage you to do that. But then you do it as a prophetic. You do it under the leading of the Holy Spirit. We've got to work together with God, the Holy Spirit, to bring this apostolic church together. So I just want to do this by example. I'm going to call some people to the front here so you can understand this whole thing. It's easy to talk, but it's not so easy to understand. So Brad, I'm nominating you to be Jesus today. Hey, so come and stand in the front here, Brad, over here. Come stand over there, please. So if I can ask some of the young men, Andrew and the boys, Jaden and Nathan, come and stand in the front here, please. These are our elders, folk. Come stand over here. And I want you to stand in a line like this, facing Jesus, and Jesus look upon them. Come, Andrew, come stand in a line. Don't be embarrassed now, shoulder to shoulder. Now we're going to get the deacons. So, interestingly, I want to just say to you, the Bible tells us that the elders are husband of one wife. And this is where we differ sometimes from the Orthodox Church or the denominational churches. The Bible teaches the elders are male, and they lead with their wives. They're an eldership couple, eldership team, but the elders is a male who carries the doctrine, direction, and discipline of the church. So by chance, they're male today. Okay, now we have the deacons. So can we have some ladies and men to come? Come, youngsters, come and stand in the front here. Who else is going to come? Trevor and Marina, come and join us in the front here. Pam and Patrick, come stand in the front here. Just come stand behind them here. So we've got Jesus, we've got the deacons, same about, and notice that the deacons can be male and female, can be male and female, can be husband and wife, can be single, can be widows, be even divorced people when they're restored in God. So now we have the saints. So I want a whole group of people. So this group of people, will you come and stand here behind you, the saints. Some more saints. Come, Shay, I need some more saints. Thank you everyone for coming. So the church is on a level. Do you notice it's equal? No one's better than anyone, but we're going in a direction. As Jesus says, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. So we've got our eyes fixed upon Jesus. So the elders are on the front. They fronted. It's an arrowhead. They're in the front, they're hearing God, they're directing, but they also work with the whole family going behind, actually working with him. And as they bring this team together, following the Lord, whatever the instructions comes. But notice here, Jesus is not only talking to the elders, every one of those that are a bit taller can see Jesus. But everyone is meant to have their eyes upon Jesus. You must never take Jesus out of this thing. He must always be the head of the church, always the focus of the church. So everyone must hear God. Everyone must hear his voice. Everyone must be encouraged by him. But he expects us to work together, to be united of one heart, one mind. But everyone has a different role in this. So the elders have a different role. Remember the three Ds, direction, doctrine, and discipline in the life of the church. But then the deacons and the saints, the rest of the church, they're there to serve the purposes of God. Yes, some people are weaker than others, but that doesn't matter. But we work together, serving God and advancing the kingdom of God. Now, that's the local church. Now, the local church stands alone, but the church needs to work together with other churches. So there are many other local churches. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 tells us that there are gifts given to the church to build the church for the work of ministry. And 4:11 tells about some to be apostles, some to be a prophet, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Now, Yaka and Celeste, you want to come and stand here? Keith and Gloria, you want to come and stand here, please? No, you can be on the side, you can look at them. Now, Ephesians 4:11 is a team of saints or deacons or elders from different local churches that have been released by the Holy Spirit to bring life to the church and to be released to bring the outworking of understanding. It says to prepare the church for the works of ministry. And these folk are released. They've been invited by the elders of the church, led by the Holy Spirit, to come and minister. So Yaka and Celeste come here, and they're released from that team to come and minister to this church. We see them sometimes on a Sunday. We get them, we call it apostolic ministry. They come and they minister the life of God as the Holy Spirit used. They've been called by God to do that, and they are a blessing to the church because they take the church further. And we work together as a local church with this team. Now, there are many teams like this, Ephesians 4 teams, 4:11 teams. But we work and we partner with a team called New Covenant Ministries International. And yes, that was started by Dudley. and it's grown to Tyron, Daniel, his son, and it has no head office. It has a structure of a bank account, but that all it has. And Tyron, and there are many that have been called out. Nikki and I are part of that team, and we minister into the Great Lakes, and we minister into different churches and even around the world. But that team is used to bring life and encouragement to the church. This team keeps that team stable because it doesn't work through hierarchy. There is nothing to say that they must submit to one another, but it works out through friendship and relationship. And I want to tell you, there's a strength in that that we've seen as we as a local church have worked together with NCMI over the number of years has kept a sense of stability and given us doors into the nations. NCMI is represented in, I think, all continents in the world. Churches are working together. There is no pressure on us in any way to work together with them, but we choose to work with them. Why? Because we are not to be in isolation. We are to be together with the worldwide church. And this is how God builds his church. This is his ingenious plan as he builds the church together. So do you understand the New Testament church now? Do you see, and this is not a criticism, we've got to set the churches out there free. Why? We want to protect them because too many people are getting hurt in other churches. People still get hurt in this environment too because flesh gets in the way. But the reality, this is not perfect, but this is God's plan. And I want to just say is that for you and I, you are meant to be part of that. And if you're not standing in that and you're not working together with that, I want to encourage you to put your hand up and say, Lord, I want to be part of that. Because as we work together, you know there's a reward for you individually, but there's a reward for us corporately too, as we work together. So you might think, well, I haven't got anything to give. But when you say, here I am, Lord, use me, you'll be surprised how God will actually use you. Even if it's just making the tea and the coffee, but there's more to it. It's sharing the love of God by giving the tea and coffee. Some of us are raised up to be teachers, others, but we just submit ourselves to that process and allow God to. Don't pull away from the church. She doesn't bite. She might hurt you at times, but she doesn't bite. But get over your hurts and actually get involved in what God's got for you. You know, the reality, all of us are broken in some extent, and we all need healing. And God's healing is this, not just laying of hands. Healing is in this. And that's where I've got majority of my healing is in the church. And yes, she's not perfect. And she is broken at times. But when you come to, Jesus is the head of his church. And when he is the head of the church, he works through his church. And the manifold wisdom of God has worked through his church. Thank you, everyone, for volunteering. You can give them a hand, everyone. Thank you, everyone. And I just wanted to say a testimony of the New Testament church. We trust in God to build the New Testament church here at Church on the Way. And we're working hard at that. And maybe for the first time you've understood it, what we're trying to do. But I want to just say, over the years, as God builds his church according to his pattern and his plan, things start to work out in a wonderful way. But my challenge to all of us here today is that I want you all involved. It's not good enough for me because we're in a team together. You've got to be involved in some way. And I can't tell you what to do that. The Holy Spirit's got to show you that because we need one another. You saw that was together. There's different roles and there's different things to do. But we need one another. And God wants us to work together in these things. And you know, if you're not part of this whole thing, there's a time when you're going to go through difficulty and then you're going to stand in isolation. You're not an island. We need to be together. And it's one of the hardest things in the world that we live in, is to give up our independence. And it's not only our independence to God, but to one another. And I want to encourage you, as we build the church together, find your role in God's calling for you. But what I want to just encourage you at the end, please aspire in your heart for something more than who you are. Don't sit back and be complacent. It's nothing wrong to put your hand up to want to lead. You know, so often the leadership of bringing people through from leadership depends on the elders bringing people through. That's wrong. It should be you coming to us and say, I believe God's called me, and you've heard God, I want to lead, or I want to give myself to this. How can I be used? It's that simple thing. You know, I don't want to embarrass anyone here, but Nitesh and Kribashni, they don't wait for anyone, but they go and they serve. Well done to both of you. And they actually are example. And there are many things that will pull you away from what God wants you to do, but just say, Lord, here I am. It's nothing wrong to desire to be an elder. If you want to be an elder and you believe God's called you, come and speak to me. If you believe that God's got a call upon your life, I'm telling you now, I'm not here to hinder you. The elders aren't here to hinder you. If you believe God's called you to be a deacon, and even those roles, and I want to hear my heart and think, aspire for greatness in God. There's nothing stopping you doing apostolic work. There's nothing stopping you doing prophetic work. There's nothing stopping you doing evangelical work. There's nothing stopping you doing pastoring work and teaching. If you have those gifts upon you, you've recognized them. I don't know those things. I'm not all wise, but if the Lord has spoken to you and called you into those things, come and talk to us. And we would love to facilitate. Yes, there's a process, but let's see, there's an outworking. It doesn't necessarily have to be from the pulpit here, but there are many areas where you can be released in, where God can actually use you. There are people crying out there for help. The answer's here. The answer's here. And we want to train you, and we want to put you through that process. It's not a promotion. I'm not going to give you rank in any way. We're going to release you into the gifting that you are to the church, and the Holy Spirit to use you. And, you know, a lot of us don't want to be pushed forward, and we don't want to usurp our places. But I want to say to you that if there's something upon you, don't lose your inheritance. Please don't lose your inheritance in Christ. If God has called you, and don't say you're not called because you are, and if you are called, find out what God has actually got you specifically. Whether you've got gray hair and you're young, put your hand up for God where he can use you. Every one of you has got a voice, and the Holy Spirit can use every single one of us. Don't minimize God's call upon your life. Don't miss out on your reward that God has got for you. This is the New Testament church. There's a place, there's a role for every single one of us. Don't let your fears get in the way. Don't let your past get in the way. Don't get your hurts. If you've been hurt by the church, I apologize on their behalf. I don't know what happened to you, but I apologize. God wants to set you free. There's so much more for you. Don't just be a church attender. You are missing out. Get involved. And you've got to evaluate that thing. You've got to look at the audit of your life and say, Lord, am I involved in what you've called me to do? You've all got trouble with the busy world we live in. I don't know how to remedy that. Except to say to your boss, no, that's enough. Because I think the work environment is actually putting too much pressure on people, and they're missing out on family, and they're missing out of understanding, restoring, and keeping family. They think it's about the bottom line. But look after your people, and they will look after you. And I want to just encourage you. Some of you need to say no in your workplace. You know, earlier this morning as I was praying, for someone here today, as I finish off, the scripture came to me, and I want to encourage you. It's from, Lord, where is it now? Matthew chapter 7, verse 19 to 20. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. And we use that, unfortunately, we become judgmental in that. And that's wrong. We mustn't be judgmental in any way. But I'm asking you to judge yourself. Are you bearing good fruit in the kingdom? Can you honestly say, when you look at your life, am I bearing fruit for Christ? Am I so selfish that it's all about me and my life and my business, that what do I give to God? And I want to tell you, we can all go further, including myself. We can lay our lives down for Christ. So as I leave you with an image of the New Testament church, the call is to get involved. The call is to go further. The call is to live in Christ. We're not here just to puff you up and to get you stronger, but for you to live this life and to have influence. I'm challenging you. How many of you have shared Christ lately? All of us. I know we don't have always opportunities, but when last did you share Christ? I want to say we all got to do the work of an evangelist. When last did you invite someone to come to your home, never mind come to church? We all can do that. And I want to encourage you. This is the life that God's called us. From our hearts, from the elder, we love you. We want the very best for you. We honestly do. And I know God wants that for you. And when we do it His way, His blessing and His prosperity is upon you. So I trust you've heard my heart today in encouraging you to go deeper and further. Go for God and do all that He has for you. You have a great future. Don't miss out on His calling upon your life. Put your hand up for Him and you'll be surprised. You are qualified and say, I'm not qualified, but God has other plans. It's not about you, it's about Him in you, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Can I pray for you? I'm going to ask you something very specifically here today. I really just sense as we were worshiping the Lord this morning, if you believe God's called you to something more in Him, and you want to respond to Him today, I want you to stand, whatever it is, whether it's to get involved or whatever, I want you to just stand. I'd love to pray for you. Those that are just sensing God pushing His, putting your hand upon you, really love to pray for you. Amen. You're a deeper walk to walk with the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for these men and women here today, young and old, that, Lord, have responded to you. Father, I know that you love them and you've destined them for an inheritance in you to bring glory to your name. And Lord, as these men and women stand up and young men and women stand up, that you would put your hand of grace upon them, Lord, that you would nurture them and that you would bring them to the fore and wherever you've earmarked for them to fulfill your plan and your purpose over their lives. Lord, will you release them by the power of your Holy Spirit into that now in the name of Jesus. May your timing be perfect. May your wisdom be outworked in the whole thing. May there be a working together with the church that, Lord, this will bring glory to your name. And then for every one of us here, Lord, we pray that you will take us deeper in the calling of our salvation, to love you, to worship you, to live in the fullness of Christ, to live at the right hand of you, Father, and to see your kingdom flowing in and through our lives. Where we become stagnant, Will you remove the quagmire? Will you remove whatever's hindering our lives? There to be a fresh outflowing of your Spirit now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. I want you to write that down in your journal. This was the day that we prayed for you. And watch God. Watch God do something in your life. And as you put your hand up, let's see what God has for you. You'll see circumstances will open up for you. Don't just say it as a decision that you made today. See it as something wonderful that God's for you. Been with you. God bless you, and those that are here for the first time, please come and join us upstairs at the upper room for a cappuccino. We'd love to have you with us. But God bless you. Have a wonderful week. We love you, and goodbye to everyone online there. Bless you all. Thank you.